From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As Dr. Cairns continues this series of studies in the book of Acts, he commences a message entitled, Paul Arrives at Rome. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text comes from Titus chapter 3 and verse 4, The Kindness and Love of God our Savior. How sweet it is to behold the Savior communing with His own people. There can be nothing more delightful than, by the divine Spirit, to be led into this fertile field of delight. Let the mind for an instant consider the history of the Redeemer's love, and a thousand enchanting acts of affection will suggest themselves, all of which have had for their design the weaving of the heart into Christ and the intertwisting of the thoughts and emotions of the renewed soul with the mind of Jesus. When we meditate upon this amazing love and behold the all-glorious kinsman of the church endowing her with all his ancient wealth, our souls may well faint for joy. Who is he that can endure such a weight of love? That partial sense of it which the Holy Spirit is sometimes pleased to afford is more than the soul can contain. How transporting must be a complete view of it! When the soul shall have understanding to discern all the Savior's gifts, wisdom wherewith to estimate them, and time in which to meditate upon them, such as the world to come will afford us, we shall then commune with Jesus in a nearer manner than at present. But who can imagine the sweetness of such fellowship? It must be one of the things which have not entered into the heart of man, but which God has prepared for them that love Him. Oh, to burst open the door of our Joseph's granaries, and see the plenty which He hath stored up for us! This will overwhelm us with love. By faith we see as in a glass darkly the reflected image of His unbounded treasures. But when we shall actually see the heavenly things themselves with our own eyes, how deep will be the stream of fellowship in which our soul shall bathe itself! Till then, our loudest sonnets shall be reserved for our loving benefactor, Jesus Christ our Lord, whose love to us is wonderful, passing the love of women.
How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me! I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how He could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. He took my sins and my sorrows, He made them His very. He bore the burden.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We've been particularly encouraged by the response to the program content. So, if you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then take our thanks for your taking time to do so. And if you haven't yet done so, we would be delighted to hear from you. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular postal mail. You may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy this program, you might like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you and that you'll join us on our website this week. Having appealed to Caesar, Paul has been sent to Rome. The ship encounters a violent storm that threatens the lives of all on board. Yet Paul has been assured by God that he will get to Rome. As Dr. Cairns will demonstrate from the Scriptures, no matter what Satan may do to hinder God's work, the will of the Lord will prevail. In bringing Paul safely to the island of Melita, or Malta, God graciously showed mercy to the Gentiles there, for many came to Christ through Paul's witness. Now to introduce this message entitled, Paul Arrives at Rome, here is Dr. Cairns.
Now we're continuing our studies in the book of Acts. We've reached the final chapter, chapter 28 of the book of Acts. Because there's quite a number of verses in the chapter, what we're going to do to get the general thought and theme is to read at the end of chapter 27, verse 42, the first part of chapter 28, and then a few verses toward the end of chapter 28. Acts 27, verse 42. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to see of Paul, kept them from their purpose, and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land, and the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. When they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one, because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom, though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live." And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit, they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. In the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed, and laid his hands on him and healed him. And so when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed, who also honored us with many honors. And when we departed, they laded us with such things as were necessary. The following verses tell of the remainder of the journey to Rome, Paul's meeting with brethren and his encouragement thereby, and finally his lodging in Rome, where he calls upon the Jewish leaders to come, tells them of his reasons for being in Rome, and he gathers with them to speak to them concerning Christ. Verse 23, and when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. From which you'll see that the Free Presbyterians are not the longest preachers of all. They may be long, but they don't go from morning till evening. I like Paul's preaching. Then verse 24, and some believed the things that were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed, after that Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, Go unto this people and say, Hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you, that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed, and had great reasoning among themselves. The Lord will add his own blessing to these portions from his own precious word for his name's sake. Very clearly, we are reaching the climax of the whole book of the Acts of the Apostles with the arrival of the Apostle Paul in the imperial city of Rome. We can't escape the conclusion as we read, especially the 27th and 28th chapters of the book of Acts, that here we are face to face with one of those turning points in history, one of those events or series of events which have profoundly affected the entire world in all the centuries which have followed. Now, as we look at these events, we're only going to have time to look at them in one light today. As the Lord wills, we'll come back to this. I want us to sum up the chapter and see briefly three things in it. I want us to think first of Paul's escape. That's why we read at the very end of chapter 27, Paul's escape. And when we are in the general area of Paul's escape on to the island of Melita, we will remark the healing of the heathen, how God moved there on that island through the ministry of his servant. Now, the arrival of Paul in Rome must have been of the very utmost importance. First of all, I think it's clear from all that we have said and studied in the past weeks that it was certainly and clearly important to God. The Lord took great pains to assure Paul that he must go to Rome and that nothing, neither man nor elements nor devil, would be suffered to stop him getting to Rome. So it was important to God that Paul should reach Rome. But when you read the 27th and 28th chapters of the book of Acts, you'll see that it must have had a great effect upon the devil, because certainly the devil took great pains to do everything to stop him getting to Rome. In fact, we have read of three potentially fatal dangers on Paul's road or journey to Rome. First of all, of course, there was the storm. Now, I believe that the elements are in the Lord's hand. I don't believe in the crazy sort of dualism that has been resurrected out of heathenism and has had its reincarnation among even so-called fundamentalists, which sort of see one good God and one bad God, namely the devil, and they're forever vying for the supremacy. I don't believe in that sort of dualism. I believe in the sovereignty and the unity of the one God. And I believe that the very devils in hell are subject to the Lord. But that's merely in passing. I believe that the elements and the storms, therefore, were in the hand of God. But nonetheless, you can't help but realize that when the Lord brings you into a storm in life, that the devil will seek to use that circumstance to distract you from your purpose, to depress you in your spirits, to lead you into despair, and ultimately into total defeat. And undoubtedly that's what the devil was about on that ship. But the Lord sent an angel who stood by Paul and brought him out of the storm. And we read, so he escaped, and the Lord gave him all the lives of those who traveled with him. You remember that's the subject we were thinking on last week. Now then, after the storm, there was another danger. And here you can see the hand of the devil very clearly. Verse 42, the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners. So you can see here these ungodly men, and they're stirred up and they say, now we have had a great storm, we're going to cast ourselves into the sea to reach the land a little way off. It may well be that these prisoners will escape, so let's slay them. Now I don't think the devil was too much interested in the rest of the prisoners, but I do believe, just as he sought to oppose the Lord Jesus reaching Calvary to make a propitiatory sacrifice to God, so he sought to oppose the apostle to the Gentiles reaching Rome to spread the influence of the gospel through the empire. And his first plan was, let's kill all the prisoners, but especially let's get Paul. And again the Lord stepped in. The Lord had already prepared and moved the heart of a Roman centurion. It's a wonderful thing in Acts just to see how the Lord has dealt with these centurions. Here we have, you remember Cornelius. In fact, when I studied Cornelius with you, I remember pointing out how in his ministry the Lord dealt with a centurion, and he said there was no greater exhibition of faith in Israel than the exhibition of the centurion's faith. At his crucifixion, it was a Roman centurion, but not a Jew, but a Roman centurion who cried, surely this was the Son of God. In Caesarea, it was Cornelius, the Roman centurion, that was saved. And here again, the Roman centurion, naturally a very hardy breed, a very ungodly breed, is softened in heart and prepared to be the vehicle and the instrument of God's mercy. The heart of the king is in the Lord's hand. and the heart of every other man besides God is on the throne. So that field. And then in chapter 28, you can see the devil really taking the mask off and then attacking Paul. First there was the storm and what the devil sought to do through it. Then there was the soldiers. Then there was the snake. The viper out of the fire, fastened on Paul. And by all natural laws, he ought to have died pretty speedily. But you see, Paul was serving a supernatural God. And natural laws are the servants, not the masters, of our supernatural God. They are his creation, not his creator. And therefore, when by natural laws he ought to have died, the Almighty stepped in so that Paul merely shook off the venomous viper. And he went on as if nothing had happened. I want you to see that when God designs a service for a man, nothing in earth or hell can hinder that service from being accomplished. When you have the Lord's say so, you need nothing else. When you have the Lord's blessing, you need not fear what man can do unto you. Because thank God, one with God is always a majority. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Now Paul's ministry on the island of Melita was certainly owned of the Lord. And you'll see that special miracles were done by him. It's a tremendous instance of the long-suffering and the kindness of God. First of all, the father of Publius was healed. And then, verse 9, so when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed. And the tense of the verbs there indicates that they kept on coming and they kept on getting healed. This was not just one or two miracles, but this was an exhibition of continuing mercy and grace and power and favor from the Lord. Now we're going to have cause to refer to that exhibition of miraculous healing when we come to study a little later in the chapter. But for the moment, I want you just to think of this, that the Lord blessed Paul among the heathen. I find it inconceivable, although it's not the purpose of Luke to go into this in detail in Acts 28, I find it inconceivable that Paul could have prayed and laid hands and done miracles without the preaching of the gospel. I think probably this is the planting of Christianity in the island of Malta. And while today it has gone back to a form of paganism largely and has been under the sway of Romanism for a long time, nonetheless, this was the planting of the gospel in the little island of Malta. There was the first exhibition of God's favor and God's power among the heathen. There's just a practical note that you need to watch here, and it's this. Not only is there an exhibition of God's mercy to the heathen, not only in that is there surely an encouragement to Paul and an assurance that he's going to bless him among the Gentiles and among the heathen, but on a practical level, will you note again the welcome that Paul received from heathen people? Whereas when he came to Rome, the more privileged Jews rejected him. Again and again you find this in the scriptures. And it's exactly what's happening today. Heathen, on the first or second hearing of the gospel, are embracing Christ. I think that across the world, the Lord only knows the statistics, but I think if you were to take activity across the world, you would find that proportionately the heathen are welcoming the gospel with open arms, while so-called Christian civilized America and Britain and Europe have shut up shop against the preaching of the gospel, and there is a cynicism. There is a willingness to rationalize and reason and argue as there was among the Jews, but there is little open-hearted reception of the preaching of the Word of God. And whereas the man of God was honored and welcomed and blessed among the heathen. He is belittled and rejected among those who have had far greater privileges. The old saying is, you never miss the water until the well runs dry. There are people in America, and maybe people in this meeting, who think little of the preaching of the Word of God. Let me tell you, you will learn to value it as it ought to be valued when it's taken from you for good.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.